With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I smell like I sound, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Everton survive on the last day yet again. It's Monday 29th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm David Cartledge.
And I'm Pete Donaldson. Sorry. And just like that, the Premier League was over for another season. My goodness, eh? How about that, David? Do you feel sad when the Premier League closes its doors for 10 minutes and then suddenly it's back again in August?
I think we should have a longer break.
Yeah?
Yeah, generally.
Oh, a longer break?
Yeah, I'm glad it's over. I'm not particularly looking forward to starting up again. Do you know what I mean? Like that. Let's just enjoy a bit of a break.
Ever since the Super League didn't take off, you're just not interested in football anymore, are you?
Nah, shit. I said, David, are you getting any time off or something? Yeah, I've got 2 weeks.
2 weeks, that's all you get.
Two weeks, eh?
Football, man. Flipping heck. Should move to America. That's the kind of standard break you get.
I abused...
Careful, we shouldn't talk about that, actually. Yeah. It's still pending, isn't it?
I abused Leeds as American players, so that might not be the place for me.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think they'd be waiting for you at the airport. I think it'd be all right.
Good to clarify. Before we get into all that, let's talk about our highlights of the weekend. Jim Campbell, get us off to a good start.
So we're going to touch on it briefly later, but I was at the Emirates this weekend. Mikel Arteta gave a speech at the end on the pitch, as managers often do on the last day. Yeah, yeah. But where I was sat, he was obscured by Gunnosaurus, which made it look like he was wearing the suit.
Nice.
And that was fun.
Okay, excellent stuff. Peter?
Villa making Europe.
Oh!
I hate Villa, and I hate their supporters.
And you hate Europe as well.
And I hate Europe as well.
You're glad we're bloody out of the whole thing, aren't you?
They deserve each other,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. beautiful pairing. I just think that on the last day, beating a side that have been in such good form over the entire season, like Brighton, I think it was such a great performance. And I just think they again, I can't stand them, but I think they've done so well, and they picked the right man for the job. And I just think Villa fans should be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, and I think it's very fitting, because you're a man who once said to me that you'd rather lose than win. So, you know, you do crave disappointment and so on. And so this kind of goes into it. A club doing well that you don't like.
What's one of those little things?
It's a double negative.
People who want to, like heavily religious people. I saw it in a film once.
Right.
Like a thing around their leg to make them
a cast.
Bleed or something. Grrr, what they're called. I remember a man in...
Sort of
like self-flagellation
sort of
thing.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
and
one
so,
of them.
And this is...
that scene.
So Europe's...
chastity belts.
So Europe's journey in Europe, that'll be like just grinding away.
Yeah,
but you'll get some sort of enjoyment.
Because they'll probably win it, because Emery's an absolute genius in Europe, isn't he?
So, he is. Yeah, true enough, yeah. Okay, David.
I'm going for Weston McKennie. He had a few little incidents yesterday. So he's on the pitch. I think he looks grossly unprepared for football.
Very diplomatic.
Leeds fans also noticed this, serenaded him with "you fat bastard."
Right.
And then that wasn't it. The best bit is that his dad tweets, you know, thanks to the Leeds supporters who did, you know, get behind my son, but not those who are hostile towards him. And he did this with a video of Harambe.
He
quote retweeted with that. Yeah.
Right. Well,
And then he was also spotted on a train just getting the hell out of Dodge, basically. He wanted none of
Leeds.
He
was on LNER and he had a little dog on his on his lap, which was quite cute. I think it was a Dachshund, and he was eating. He had a big plate or something.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Well, it's the end of a long season.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would have thought of all the highlights? Pete, yours was a genuine football one. We've had Gunnosaurus and we've had Harambe mentioned.
Well, have we talked about the fox that we watched being taken on by seven different magpies and crows this morning?
And two crows, like...
on an adjoining roof to stack.
On a roof. It was really weird.
This interrupted
the animals are weird today.
Pre-production meeting, we're scared for the fox, although I thought it was... some sort of, I don't know, what would be the word?
Like a metaphor.
Allegory.
Metaphor for Leicester something. I don't know. My highlight of the weekend was when Mitrovic scored his penalty against Manchester United to put Fulham 2-0 up. They saw the game out and ended with a record points tally for the Premier League season. Don't tell me that didn't happen. So up yours, everybody. Anyway, let's talk about the relegation battle, which Everton won. They stayed up. And Leeds and Leicester, of course, went down and will be playing Championship football next season. Yes, let's get into it, gentlemen. Jim, there was some quite interesting scenes, shall we say. It wasn't the most spectacular of last days in terms of relegation, but it was still one you couldn't take your eyes off.
No, absolutely. And the weird parallels of Everton's previous last day escapes and how they've all involved a really similar goal.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. There is this sense that Everton just cannot be relegated from the Premier League. Like the fates won't allow it.
Yeah.
And it really, really felt like that yesterday.
Yeah. I think that there is the sort of the footballing gods are protecting history there, because they've been in England's top flight since 1954. They're on the second longest stint in top flight history, only behind Arsenal. And they've played more top flight seasons in total than any other club. 120 seasons in total. Villa are next on 109, followed by Liverpool on 108. That is the history that you're dealing with when it comes to Everton Football Club.
Well, toffee on your shoe.
It just won't go away. Yeah. But they managed to do it, and the Doucouré smashed that one in. But I think that's a fair point that Jim says there, David. It's almost as if they're down there because they can't really score that many goals and they needed a moment of inspiration, and perhaps they got it.
No, absolutely. They've had
slight deflection on the way, we should say, but when you hit the ball that hard at goal, you've always got a chance.
I was going to say, you had one thing in mind and, you know, got a little bit of luck, fair enough. They've had problems up front all season. I mean, Calvert-Lewin missed yesterday as well. You don't know what his future is generally. I don't even mean about leaving the club. I just meant with injuries and his fitness and whether he can actually get a run of 20, 25 games together. Maupay, as we know, is a little shit, but he cannot score. They're a bit like problematic.
You said that as if we know that. We're all agreed on that,
as if that's his position.
No one's going to go, oh, Neil Maupay, I love him. Don't talk that about him. But so they've got problems there. And look, it's a stay of reprieve. And look, they were very clear about this after, I think, especially Conor Cody, I thought, spoke really well after the whistle. And he said, look, we can't keep doing this. As a club, they can't keep doing that. Yeah. And you don't, because in the end, you will get punished. Look, I'm a Sunderland fan, and we're the same. You're your club all the time, and then you do get punished eventually. Mm. And Everton, you know, next season, if they don't change their ways, then they're going to be there again.
This is the thing, David, how many bloody times? Mm. This is the thing why Everton fans are fuming. It's that old rhetoric again. Everyone connected to Everton. Well, this can't happen again.
It's going to happen again.
It will, of course, because unless something changes. Was it Howard Kendall was saying this in the 90s, I remember. Now, I know that was a long time ago and so on. But it was last season under Lampard, you know, you saw those jubilant scenes of celebration when they stayed up. The scenes were different. I mean, obviously, people running on the pitch, there was an element of, well, more than an element of celebration. But there was a lot of anger, Pete Donaldson, among those fans. You know, they're pissed off because
they missed out on the parachute payments that they so sorely need. Relegation would have been good for Everton.
And Moshiri's denied the fans that as well.
Well, finances are a huge issue there, aren't they?
Massive.
They're in a situation where they're going to have to sell to buy, and that's been the case for a while. And
they're going to have to sell.
Well, true.
Sell,
yeah,
and then buy something and very, very small.
Be really smart with free transfers and loans and things like that. And
steal some players.
There you go.
Steal some players. Why not?
Shoplifting. Yeah.
Fake some.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would work.
Rebadge it. Like, put a different engine in them.
Exactly. Get someone in from another sport.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
you said it's Usain Bolt's time.
Maybe.
Is that what it is?
It's hard to see how they get out of a situation like this, isn't it? When they are sort of so kind of hamstrung in the transfer market. And obviously, you know, in Sean Dyche, they've got a person who is used to working on a small budget. The expectations are slightly different. I think Everton fans are probably going to be more understanding in the next couple of seasons than they might have been sort of like, say, 10 years ago. We've seen...
It's a generous shout, Jim.
Well, I just think that they've seen how poorly the club's been run for a long time. They know they can't go around splashing 50 million quid on a player. You know, they know they've got to be smart. And in that set of circumstances, they might be frustrated, but I think they'll still be supportive.
Well, I think that's the difference between last time around when they survived under Lampard. I think the scenes were, oh my God, thank goodness we've survived. Right, now we can kick on.
Yeah.
And I think that's not the case at the moment.
It's funny, I was reading as well, just to continue your point. 96% we're just a turnover ratio.
No.
There's only PSG apparently more in Europe, which is crazy. And also I was reading if they did get relegated, there wasn't actually anything in place for wages to be cut. Yeah. Whereas Leeds and a few others had about 50, 60% reduction in wages if you were relegated. Mm. Everton had nothing in place. And that's just maybe just a microcosm of just how the club is run and not prepared for things like that. Did they just think, oh, we're far too good to go down and what have you like that? So there's a lot of, I know the middle of appointments behind the scenes to try and change things, youth academy, you know, scout and things like that. But there really needs to be evidence that they have changed moving in the summer straight away. Like, I mean, I don't think you don't take time off. You get straight back to it there and just, right, how are we going to restructure this club? Yeah. How are we going to take them forward? Yeah. How do we avoid a repeat of this?
Well, you don't want to be, whenever the new stadium is finished, you don't want to have the best stadium in the Championship.
No.
As a Sunderland fan, you know all about that, David. Mm. But
you sort of think that they do need money and they need it quickly. So just they need a benefactor, and Sean Dyche just got 3.5 million for keeping them up. So maybe you could lend him 3.5 million.
Would it come to that?
If you want to make your job easier. Yeah. And Sean, look at you. What are you going to spend it on? What do you buy?
Yeah.
If you're Sean Dyche.
You've got the nicest white shirt. Skull razor.
White shirt, no vest.
Can you stop getting them from Marx's, please, and go somewhere a bit more cheaper?
I can't see him in, like, German Street in London, you know, the famous German Street. Oh, what's all this about you? But on the pitch, they managed to do it. And it wasn't pretty, it wasn't great, it was never going to be, but, they were hanging on at the end. Mm. Pickford made a couple of saves. One might say, yeah, you would expect him to make those saves, but the fact, all things considered, in that pressure.
He loves a claw, and there was a couple of claw saved, which it was saves.
Well, the volley, I was watching that, when the ball dropped to, I forget who it was, and he smashes it towards Everton goal. The heart's in mouth for Evertonians.
Because of his size, he is quite good at judging the flight and judging, you know, giving himself enough time to readjust his feet, because he has to, because he's got little arms.
I tell you who must be delighted with his work and situation is Yerry Mina. Mm. Kept them up. and he's getting the hell out of there.
Yeah.
You know? So
I think a few of them might.
Yeah, well,
the opportunity.
Yeah.
Although you wonder, so we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? You wonder what the sort of value is of a lot of the players in that squad.
Do you think
squad.
Yerry Mina's value's gone up after he had a little bite at Dominic Solanke on the chest?
I don't know that will be factored into evaluation.
It'd be funny if his agent tried to use that.
Mm.
Why did he do that?
Will there be retrospective action for him chomping?
Yeah.
I think the season's over. Everyone's tired.
Everyone's like, tired. They're pushing the VAR cameras into the sea.
Yeah.
Can't be arsed. This isn't coming back next year. Yeah.
Jordan Pickford had a funny little tangle as well, didn't he? In the goal mouth. And then he sort of like, you know, just got up, couldn't hide how delighted he was to be wasting valuable seconds grinning from ear to ear.
Indeed. So yes, Everton did manage, but like we say, there's so much work to do. And I think Dyche staying would be,
I think it would be
a surprise. And I think, you know, given the situation, that's what it calls for, quite frankly. But yeah, a fit Dominic Calvert-Lewin would be a big thing, whether they can do that or not, et cetera, et cetera. We shall see. But Everton getting that win was damning for Leicester City, of course, who beat West Ham 2-1. They did play their part on the final day. And we spoke about whether that point away to Newcastle would be good enough or not. Obviously, it seemed all in vain.
Then we saw the Magpies attacking the Fox this morning to symbolise that to us.
Absolutely right, Jim. Absolutely right. Good to remind everybody of that. But the Leicester fans apparently were celebrating Bournemouth goals that didn't happen on three occasions. How does this happen in the modern era?
Yeah. Very weird.
It's very, very strange.
Is it like the BBC kind of like ticker, news ticker that sort of says it's been scored and then, oh, it's been chalked off. Is that how it works? Or?
No, because that didn't happen, did it?
No.
Are you saying that there was an Evertonian working the BBC ticker?
Yeah,
they're 3-0 up. Take it easy, guys. Very, very strange. Johnny Evans said the players were asking the referee and the linesman for the score at Everton. I kind of think to myself, because Leicester's brief was so clear, you have to just win the game.
I was about to say, why are you asking? Who cares? Just win your game and then that's it, and then see it when you get off the pitch after.
And then you can put it on the screen.
Yeah, and then you can watch the Everton celebrations after.
Yeah.
You know, which they did.
Do you mean play the other game on the big screen in the stadium?
Put the score on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just put the score on the screen.
I don't think that would be allowed for some reason. West Ham fans will be West Ham fans. They were chanting to the Leicester City supporters, say hello to Millwall, and you're going to cry in a minute.
You're going to cry in a minute. It's so weak.
Absolutely horrendous.
Love that. Bit of Gordon.
I thought you would.
It's good. It's football. It's not abusive. It's not discriminatory. Just go on, have it.
That's what it's what it's all about. Yeah.
But if you are one of those crying children, it's probably quite annoying.
Yeah, it probably is, though. I don't know. There is something funny about seeing crying children on TV, though.
Yeah. Specifically in football, we should say, Dave. The tone was set in the Euros with that German fan, that young German.
That was a bit creepy.
You have that as your screensaver on your phone is a bit weird. Leicester, it's quite the ride at Leicester City, of course, since surviving that relegation battle under Nigel Pearson all those years ago. Under Rodgers, obviously, they win the FA Cup, they finish fifth twice. You know, they were so close to getting Champions League football. And there's been the feeling that Leicester was sleepwalking to relegation, which has clearly happened, David, hasn't it? And do you think there was a feeling of, surely we won't go down? You know, we've got these players like Barnes, you've got Maddison, Tielemans. It's not going to happen.
I think there was that. And then if you look at the situation, for a lot of players, contracts running down, linked with moves.
Well, eight players are out of contract, including Dean Smith, the manager, of course.
So you've got a guy like Sionku, who'd already agreed a move to another club midway through the season.
Yeah.
Tielemans, we all know about the rumours surrounding him all the time. Maddison as well, who's another one, subject of a bit from Newcastle, of course, time ago. So you had all these players who I think already knew what their future was beyond Leicester. Mm-hmm. So naturally they were kind of like, they down tools a little bit. And then obviously Rodgers, as he does as a manager, as evidence has shown, hits a wall at a certain point as well. So I think you put all that into the box.
But do you not think it was because there was a complete lack of spending? Because Rodgers, you have two fifth place finishes, I say, an FA Cup win. They're going, they're on the march. And then suddenly it's like, no, we can't spend. And there was talk that, you know, COVID had such a huge impact on the owner's business because he's in duty free and all that kind of stuff. People were travelling, blah, 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 blah. There was a lack of money. Rodgers was frustrated, and that seeped into probably his demeanour and therefore the performances.
They did spend some money, though. If you look at some signings, they've made, I mean, Dakar, Samaria, you know, players like this came in, and I think Leicester have been held up the past few years, obviously when they're in the league, by such a brilliant level of talent ID, recruitment and what have you. That completely fell off. It is very, very hard to retain that level. So they brought players in who weren't integrated by Rodgers properly and also who just perhaps didn't adapt as individuals as well. So I think that was a big, big problem for them.
They are that side which you think, oh, surely they'll be back up straight away. But we'll get on to Leeds United in a minute. It's not a given.
No, it's absolutely not, because you know they're going to lose so many players. That squad is going to look really, really different.
Will Dean Smith still be there?
Well, be an interesting one, that, wouldn't it? Because you would think Dean Smith would actually be a really profile of manager to try and get them back up. Yeah. We don't know what happened with Jamie Vardy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really different squad, and that's not a simple thing to mould in a short amount of time for a very long season.
Yeah, that Leicester team you would imagine would probably look quite different in the Championship. But, you know, that has worked out for some sides before, you know.
Be interesting to see how much money is available from the sales. Because Maddison's going to go, isn't he, 50, 60 million? Harvey Barnes has been linked with Aston Villa quite a lot, about 25, 30 million. So there's a decent bit amount of money, plus your parachute money. And then, but you don't know the owner situation and how much they will want to take.
I suppose the most likely situation is that they'll get promoted next season. Season after that, they'll struggle to stay up and they'll just about manage it. And then the season after that, they'll win the league.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Seems to be the routine, doesn't it? But I mean, like you mentioned Harvey Barnes, the way that he scored his goal, the way they sort of carved West Ham open, beautiful goal. And you think, they've got that. How on earth did Leicester find themselves in this position? You can't tell me that some of the other sides that were down there, you know, Forest, Bournemouth, you know, both have done very well and survived. You know, are their squads that much better than Leicester?
Well, I think, you know, Bournemouth manager has changed everything.
Well,
O'Neill, honestly, the potential manager of the year candidate. Because on paper, you look at it, Bournemouth's got the worst squad in the Premier League.
Sure.
The fact that he's managed to get that tune out of them where he did, whereas teams Southampton, Leicester, and Leeds, I think, have gone down with barely. An ounce of fight amongst them.
Well, that's it. I mean, Leicester were top scorers in the bottom half of the table, but yet they've conceded a fair few, and that's it. You know, I think Leicester fans will be, you know, scratching their heads, going, "How on earth is this?"
I'd be fuming. It's like, honestly, I think the players have really. I mean, it's such a cliche line, but I think the players really let the club down. Yeah. I really do.
I tell you what, though, you might expect, as you mentioned there, maybe a little bit of a fire sale. Pete Donaldson, as a Newcastle fan, with those wealthy backers, you're rubbing your hands together, going, "Oh, might pick up Maddison, Barnes, welcome, wouldn't they?"
Isn't Perez still on loan? We can have him. have him back with his air gel. Do you think that Maddison's like a big? Because I think they were touting like 50 million, weren't they, at the start of this season or January maybe, and he never moved. Would there be an argument to say that Newcastle are now in the Champions League and are looking for a cut above?
That's what
I'm saying, guys.
Well, quite possibly. I think with Maddison, I think that what may affect a big club coming in for him is would he fit into a system? You know, I think that there's that sort of maverick edge to Maddison that he can produce something out of nothing, which of course is great and, you know, for the fans and so on. But when you're talking about Champions League club, when you're talking about, you know, systems and all that kind of stuff, I think he could.
No, I think he would. I think it's as simple as that. I think he's a really intelligent player and that perhaps gets overlooked sometimes because he has that freedom at Leicester and has had it because he's essentially their best player. I don't think that means that he can only thrive in that role. I think
you're right, but maybe there's... Well, we shall see, won't we, over the summer. Mm. But yeah, Barnes and Maddison and Tielemans would be the three that perhaps people would look at. But I mean, again, looking at Acho, you know, some of these players, what on earth are they doing? But there we are.
They're not just pulling out good players, though. They're pulling out, like, leaders, aren't they? They didn't place Schmeichel as being, like, the big...
That's
the big
a huge
dog
one,
in the,
a huge,
the pound.
Huge one. They've essentially not had a reliable goalkeeper all season, and that is going to cost you.
But just as a leader, I mean, who have they really got? Who have they really got remaining at the club?
I mean, there's only Johnny Evans, really. Yeah. I mean, he's been injured. He only just came back for the relegation sort of scrap. So he's one of the people you'd look to, I think, in the dressing room for that. Maddison's good as well. You know, Maddison, he certainly talks a good game, and I'm sure he's like that in the dressing room as well.
Yeah. Leeds will be joining them in the Championship, of course, next season.
Big Sam's fault, though, is it?
No, no, no.
If you heard
not.
A single word he said over the weekend, he seemed to distance himself from any responsibility.
So that Lucas Moura goal summed up everything that's bad about Leeds. Oh, just Martin, though. I am going to do this now. Yeah. Ha ha.
This is my goodbye moment. You can't stop me. I don't seem to want to.
What a way to say. I mean, that did sum it up. Spurs scored their fourth goal in a 4-1 win when Leeds needed to desperately win and obviously hope other results went their
dog
way,
shit.
Which they didn't.
Absolute dog
it's,
shit.
It's piss poor. And the last thing, you know, or the final moment of note at Elland Road this season was a Tottenham Hotspur player scoring a brilliant goal where Spurs have been pretty drab, let's be honest. The score, he gets the fourth, he's lifted head high and they're all celebrating in the corner. It's like, how have you managed to create a situation where Spurs are having a lovely old time and they get this kind of send-off?
You're a sideshow in the most important game of your season.
It is
at
absolutely
home.
Mental. And Rod Fanny wasn't there to spoil Lucas Moura's moment. Do you remember that goal he nearly scored for PSG? With one of the greatest goals of all time, where it was double the length he ran for that goal at Elland Road, and Fanny cleared it off the line. But yes, Moura got his moment, which was lovely for him. But I mean, 2 minutes in, Kane scores that goal. The defending's all over the place. And I understand with Allardyce, you can't blame him for Leeds going down on that moment, of course.
Funny too, though, isn't it?
Well, yes, I see by the grin on your face that you clearly are amused by that. But, I mean, you know, we should say that we got a tweet from listener James Stewart who said, can we all take a moment to remember that Leeds were out of the relegation spots when Big Sam came in? So when I say it's not his fault, but Allardyce, you know, people say, well, they're all going to know their jobs, they're going to be organised, blah, 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 blah. For that to be so bad.
Yeah. It's not his fault, though. It's like, joking aside, like, there simply wasn't time for him to implement
So with Allardyce saying, well, what, basically saying, what can I do with this lot? You could say he has a point, though, because of the defending against Spurs like
that. But he also doesn't need to do that so publicly. I think both of those things can be true, that it's not his fault and he doesn't have to sort of, you know, throw everyone under the bus.
Yeah, I thought he was. I thought he was a bit more measured than that in his comments. But anyway,
no, maybe I'm projecting.
The fact of the matter is, he was brought in to do a job, and it was a strange appointment. I mean, when Gracia came in, David, you and I were particularly enthusiastic about that appointment, saying it looked like a good one. Now, obviously, the way it was going, that they were on their way to relegation. But in hindsight, maybe they should have kept it. Or just to think Leeds were doomed anyway.
It's interesting. I was going to say they've had a few managerial changes across the course of the season. So you could say, oh, should they have brought Big Sam in when they brought Javi Gracia in?
Yeah.
Should they have kept Gracia on and not bothered with Big Sam?
Yeah.
Because Gracia got an instant result and then it kind of tailed off very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were going to get at least some semblance of defensive organisation. The thing, I think, what has ultimately cost them, because every coach they've had this season has just managed to create this chaos in defence.
Oh, man.
Where they just don't have a clue what's going on. And
they've conceded 78 goals, the most in the division.
It's just ridiculous, yeah. And, you know, you watch them and you can see why. I mean, there's, again, like the other clubs that we've talked about, I still think there's a lot that has gone on behind the scenes, a lot that needs to go on as well and change and what have you. I thought they should have... They knew that Rafinha and Calvin Phillips were both going, I think, for a while.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't think they backed Bielsa in the way that they should have.
Mm-hmm.
They then backed Marsh on this little American crusade dalliance of players, what they brought in.
Right.
Very panicky in a way. I mean, they brought Sinisterra in, who's a good player, but he's been injured all the time as well. So I think this was all, the seeds for this relegation were sown some time ago.
Who was the big signing for 36 million?
Jorginho Rutter.
Yeah.
He threw his shirt into the crowd at the weekend and apparently was thrown back.
Yeah, I mean, what?
I feel for him there. That's, you know, it's not really his fault, but he was. They took a gamble on him and it simply didn't pay off.
Yeah, and it
says a lot that Ort has already gone as well, the sporting director. So the guy who oversaw all this in terms of the managers, in terms of the players that they brought in, he's already gone. So at least they're making the right type of moves there.
Yeah. So, also, Sinisterra and Crescencio Somerville in particular look really, really promising earlier on in the
Nando
season.
As well.
Absolutely. And it just sort of hasn't quite kicked on for them.
Will Big Sam stick around, Jim?
I very much doubt it.
No. And funnily enough, the manager who I think they wanted, Andoni Irola, who was at Rayo Vallecano, has announced that he's leaving. So it'll be interesting to see if he will leave them in La Liga to go to Leeds in the Championship, which I think would be a good move.
But the worry for Leeds fans now is like, bloody hell, we spent so long down there.
Yeah. And it took a very special man to get them out.
Well, it did indeed, yeah. Absolutely. Talking of special men, we've got to mention Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Who I was like, oh, how many did he score this season? 30!
That's 30 pretty
in the
good,
Premier League!
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, among all that.
Nuts.
Imagine if he'd have got even half the service that Haaland got.
But he's been the only forward player who's had a good season for Spurs. I mean, Son, I don't know what has happened to him. I don't know, it's just the way that the two managers have played just did not suit him.
What did Conte say to Son? Crushed him.
But you've got to look, like, how old Son are, 31? Like, what happens now? Like I would give him another season, but
oh, he's got
I just don't know how there needs to be a massive redesign about how they approach the team with him in it, yeah. Because he's just had an absolute honking season.
Yeah, I think it's honking. I think it's maybe a bit harsh, but it's not been up to his standards. I think Harvey Barnes would be a really really smart signing for Spurs. He scored 13 goals in the league this season. Mm. He would come relatively cheap.
Where would you fit him in, Jim? Bearing in mind, no one wants to manage Spurs. Even Ryan Mason, I'm not sure would take it. To be honest,
we'll give him the job.
No, what a Southgate situation might actually do all right.
Give Kane the job so he can't leave.
Yeah, there you are. That's what Charlie. I mean, Spurs situation. I know what you're saying about they should sign Harvey Barnes. We need to get a manager sorted, because what's your playing style going to be like? Mm. What kind of personnel do you want?
I'm not proposing this as the first move, by the way.
Okay,
I just think I think that would be a good fit.
You're just having a few digs as an Arsenal.
How am I having a dig? I'm scouting.
Yeah, right. David, who should they go for? Because apparently Arne Slot is not interested anymore.
It's honestly difficult to say. I'm not too sure, because every avenue that they seem to go down, there seems to be a reason why they can't get that man. So
I'll give you a name.
Go on.
Brendan Rodgers. Okay. Silence.
I'm not completely against it or anything like that. I think
despite what happened with Leicester, I think Rodgers still can. I think he would. He's got a distinct style of play, which I think they would probably quite like there. I think he is the kind of coach that can get players motivated and encourage them. I honestly, people will laugh at that. I think Rodgers...
They'll get Michael Carrick or something like that. That's what you're having for dessert. Those little late 1980s mousses that were like stacked on top of each other. They were mint choc chip flavoured.
That's a choc ice.
That's a choc ice,
yeah. Arctic roll.
I want a galaxy. You can't. You're having a choc ice. And you're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be interesting to see what aspect relies on the other in terms of Kane's contract. Mm. So do you sort Kane's contract before a new manager comes in? Mm. And you know, a manager's going to want clarity, isn't he? Oh, like, yeah. We've got a world-class striker here.
True of Kane as well, though, isn't
Kane's
it? It's a really difficult one.
There. He's still there.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I think Levy might hold him to it.
Well, do you know what I mean? Like,
you know what Charlie's like with PDFs? He just gets confused.
Charlie's not
he
allowed
fill
at the club anymore.
Yeah. Oh God, I've docu-signed a new contract. I'm sorry. You're there for another 4 years.
But the fact is, though, Kane's locked in.
Yeah. For another season, though, isn't it?
Yeah, just in for another season.
Yeah, okay.
The thing is, I think...
And even for Harry Kane, he's a very professional footballer, but you imagine his performances very much like a lot of the Leeds and Leicester team.
Yeah.
They're kind of in a situation where they know they're at the door at the end of the season.
People talk about, you know, now's the time to cash in on Kane, but it's worth remembering that because he's come through their academy, it's not cost them anything.
No.
The amount of value they've got out of Kane is absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
You simply, there basically isn't anyone that can replace him anywhere in world football that would be available to them.
Stop slagging off Spurs,
Jim.
You were going to say something. No, go on, Jim.
So I think Levy will play that game of brinkmanship where he will let him run into the last year of his contract and in that time try to convince him to stay. Mm-hmm. If he leaves on a free at the end,
could do
so
a Sol Campbell and join Arsenal.
I think that very unlikely.
Yeah, okay.
Because he already did it the other way around, didn't he?
There you are. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Ex-Aston Villa man, Dion Dublin there. Was he enjoying their 2-1 victory over Brighton as much as Pete Donaldson did? We have yet to find out. But they did it. Aston Villa are in Europe. John McGinn message to Aston Villa fans was, bring your passports and see you in Europe. How about that? Because they qualified for Europe. Spurs did not. Spurs will not have European football for the first time in 13 years. But Aston Villa are back, baby. The last time Villa were in Europe, it was 2010.
I think a man like the aforementioned John McGinn is exactly the sort of man you would see Luton Airport, 5 a.m. In a 2-2. He gives off that vibe for me.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yeah, stag veteran. Stands so many of them. He's got
knows
it down
how
to
pace himself. Uh-huh. He doesn't drink before 7 a.m.
Yeah.
He just knows what he's doing.
See, and to me, Tyrone Mings is the type of guy who he knows where to go.
Yeah, Tyrone Mings,
away.
Yeah, nice,
no,
nice
I've
bars.
Got, I've got this bar, I know a guy, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've earned it.
Free drink on entry, beautiful.
and on exit as well. I mean, you can only keep saying it about Aston Villa. Unai Emery's done an absolutely magnificent job. They were 17th when Steven Gerrard was sacked in October. And they finished the season very, very well, of course, and played some scintillating stuff against Brighton, David. And Villa Park now, well, it has been for a little while, is a tough place to go, and nobody really wants to see Aston Villa arriving at their stadium because they're very good on the road.
Indeed, and I think, I tell you what, a lot of players will want to be there. They're a very appealing club right now.
They
so you've got European footballer, you've got...
Beautiful kits.
You've got a top European manager as well. You've got a lot of very good players there.
Ollie Watkins as well.
I was about to bring up...
What a handsome man.
I was going to bring up a very, very handsome man, and also, I think, still underrated.
Do you think?
I really, really do. I think he's an excellent striker. It's his new personal best in the Premier League. He's been here 3 years, 15 goals this season. I think he's done very, very well. Extremely hard worker. Got to remember as well, he was a winger coming through. So the fact that he looks a top Premier League striker now is really impressive. I think Unai Emery's got a bit more out of him as well, adding a bit more to his game. But that squad's good. That first 11's good.
Well, we were saying that under Gerrard. We were saying like, this squad is better than what was going on there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I suppose it's almost pointless to sort of talk about those times.
And I was going to say, you can't just talk about cheerleader like that, you know?
I mean, it's a shame for Watkins that he didn't get a call up for the latest England squad.
That's what I mean about underrated. He never really seems to get the true respect, and I think he should.
But then I suppose if you look at those who are vying for that position, obviously you've got Kane in there. Callum Wilson's done pretty well of late.
And the system under Emery is set up to make Watkins the focal point as well, isn't it? And he's worked really, really well with Watkins' strengths and helped to bring them out a lot. I'll tell you who'd be a really good signing for Villa would be Harvey Barnes.
There you go. See, I was safe for ground there. It's in the Midlands as well. Doesn't have to go that far.
Move.
Yeah, I'd say so. But Villa next season, like, the great thing about having some sort of European football, which we'll call it, and they're on the march, is they can now begin to attract perhaps some bigger names. Obviously, there's a lot of competition for the big names. You know, talk about Newcastle United with huge spending. They've got Champions League football. You've got the big ones in there. But could Villa start looking...
Yeah, do you think
they're looking up the table.
They are looking up the table, but I wonder if the Conference League is that much... like does give you that much of a boost. Yes, they've got European football, mm-hmm. but it's not quite the same as yeah, being in the Europa League.
A guaranteed
term.
Winner's medal.
True. For very a lot true. Of, most, and then you'll probably win the Europa League next season.
Exactly. Lest we forget, right, most professional footballers in their careers will not win a major trophy.
Yeah.
Okay? You're guaranteed one next season at Aston Villa, I'm telling you. And then maybe the season after.
But do you not think that Ashley Young being out of contract is a bit like the Ravens leaving the Tower of London? Like,
do you think?
He's just sort of worried that if he leaves, they're absolutely fucked. They're not going to get anywhere.
He left before.
Yeah.
And then I suppose he wasn't...
Came back, yeah.
No, that's true.
Shouldn't talk about birds with Ashley Young, should I? Really, sorry.
Triggering for him, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Might job be in his mouth. Mm. So if Ashley Young needs to go off to Italy, win another winner's Serie A medal and come back to Aston Villa, I don't know, and rejuvenate himself for another few years. I mean, look, yeah, I think that there's a few clubs where it's quite exciting for next season. They've had great seasons. Villa, we're talking about there. The team they beat, Brighton. They're in European football and it's very exciting times for them. And also as well, Brentford, you'd have to say, you know, finishing with 59 points in ninth place, beating Manchester City, of course, 1-0 on the final day, did the double over the champions. That's how you do it, Jim, when you play Man City. you know, those three clubs, David, great seasons and got such a great mood. And okay, Villa are the biggest club of them all, but in the terms of, say, Brighton and Brentford, great stories as well.
They've done it from scratch, and they've done it in a very sensible, professional manner as well.
Gives you a bit of heart, though, doesn't it?
It really does.
In the Premier League, with these, I'm looking at you, Pete Donaldson.
I genuinely think they're beacons. If you look at the way that they have operated as clubs the past few years, especially when they've got to the Premier League, they haven't made the mistakes. They haven't spent 30, 35 million on Jorginho Rutter.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, they've been very smart with their recruitment. Mm. You know, not panicking anywhere. You look at Brentford as well. I mean, I know they've had a big blow with the Tony news and what have you. Yeah. But you know,
but they've still gone on. So their best striker. You know what's happened there? He's been banned for a long time, and yet, okay, Spurs are a bit poor, but they go away to Spurs and look what they did.
Yeah,
there.
They've got a good record.
They've
got a good record. But you just know you can trust Brentford just to sign somebody nice, maybe 8-12 million, who will come in.
Yeah.
Take care of things while Tony's out, and then Tony will come back.
Yeah, because
they're that smart and that well run.
Indeed they are. Indeed they are. Jim, let's talk about Arsenal, shall we? They beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 5-0 on the last day of the season. All in vain, of course. But it was nice for Granit Xhaka.
It was genuinely beautiful.
Yeah.
He scores a brace. He had a really good chance for a hat-trick
and he sliced it wide as well. You spun it in a certain way, because my takeaway was Xhaka spurned hat-trick on his last appearance.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Yeah. So when he was subbed off, the Arsenal fans were chanting, "Granit Xhaka, we want you to stay."
Yeah.
Which, given that it wasn't even that long ago that he was telling us all to go fuck ourselves after he'd been subbed off.
You need to go fuck yourself sometimes, though.
Yeah, this is fair.
I think he tweeted that he had the chance to do the second funniest gag, of course, in recent years, if we can depart from football in a minute, would be the first ship going through the Suez Canal after it opened up to go...
Yeah.
And,
you know, yeah.
Oops. But he did have a...
Any sort of reference to it would have been brilliant. But it was lovely. I think he probably still will move on. It sounds like it's pretty much a done thing.
He's off
already.
To Germany, isn't he?
By the sounds of it, he'll be off to Bayer Leverkusen with Mikel Arteta's best mate, Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
It's been a beautiful turnaround. He's had an incredible season. It's not just a sentimental thing. He's contributed so much to an amazing season.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him stay, but I think he's the sort of player who needs to play every game.
Don't stay too long at the fair.
Indeed.
It was quite funny. Yeah, there was one instance when he was just leaving the ground and the fans were going over to his car window and what have you like that. And he was going, "It's not about the misses. I'm not leaving because of the missus, because there's a lot of rumours about it. His missus wants him to leave London and what have you like that."
I'm a big boy!
He was like, "It's not that.
I'm the man in the house, I'll have you know."
Pathetic.
Yeah, why are you sitting on the left side of the car and a fake steering wheel in front of you? I mean, David, did you find it heartening that obviously Arsenal spent a lot of time at the top of the table? They threw it away ultimately, even though Man City were good. But yeah, they were all having a lovely time on the last day of the season in a dead rubber match. What do you think of that?
I think the whole season's been character building for them.
Really?
And go,
I thought you were going to be harsher than
no,
that.
You
threw so much salt in there. He didn't really have much room to manoeuvre, did he?
Yeah, and he covered it with a load of his own sauce.
No, I think a lot of the criticism by Arsenal's been a bit over the top. You know, I'm sick of hearing this word bottle and everything like that. And I think it's been a successful season. In the summer,
You're going soft.
Maybe I am. Let's get back to our crying kids. You know, I think in the summer they're going to sign some high calibre players. I think we can probably see Declan Rice coming in, a few more as well. That'll just make them even better.
And Harvey Barnes, maybe?
And they'll have an Harvey Barnes, just pushing the envelope across the table to his
agent. A lot of him to go around.
Doing some serious work for him.
How many clubs is he going to play for next season? I don't know.
So yeah, they're in a good position. It's been a good season. They'll build on it next year. If they throw it away again next year,
throw it away,
I'll be more critical then. But I think,
All right, Pete. You've seen your side throw away a big lead at the top. What do you think about Arsenal this season?
What do you mean?
Well, no, I think the point I'm sort of pissing around with here is that I agree with everything you've said, and I totally understand that, you know, you go to watch football to enjoy it and so on. And if you don't win, sometimes you have to look at it a bit more philosophically or blah, 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 blah. I still feel a little bit gutted for Arsenal in some regards because it was a great opportunity. And we know all this. You know it more than me, Jim, for crying out loud. You feel it way more than a neutral would, of course. But, you know...
And they had the fixtures, I think, as well. I think they had fairly favourable fixtures, would you say?
Yeah, maybe.
We played every team twice. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
In the run-in, at the back end. Last 25 matches. The last 25 matches, home and away, Man City form wise were at the top. Then it was Man United. Yes. Arsenal were third.
Well, I think that
Villa were fourth.
I was just going to say. I think that with Arsenal, you know, the position they were in. You know, you look at the games. Don't go over old ground too much. I think you're absolutely right. But I look at it and I think, what a missed opportunity as well. Yeah, I just wonder whether how often do these opportunities present themselves? So,
well, I don't know. You say
you've had time. Arsenal fans have had time to process it and then sort of come down and go, do you know what? All in all, that's a good season. But the fact is, you know, Man City wrapped it up with a few games to spare and so on, and Arsenal really did tail off at the end of the season. I just think it's such a shame.
That late season patch of bad form was obviously what did it. Arsenal scored more goals than they've ever scored in a Premier League season before. Only a few Wenger teams had higher points totals than this. So it's, you know, it's, we've mentioned it many, many times. What they're up against has been really, really difficult and remarkable and different to what, you know, Arsenal's title challenging teams have had to do so before. That said, they did drop all those points, you know, and that's the thing that needs to change. And there's been a huge amount of improvements from Arsenal this season. They've been better at beating the big teams. Their mentality's been good in a lot of ways because they've had a lot of comebacks. Their discipline's been excellent. Not a single red card. All of these things are a huge improvement.
They are a huge improvement. I agree with you. But
what odds would you have put on Arsenal finishing second at the start of the season?
Oh, again, they have overperformed. But the fact is that you get yourself in that position. And I think Arteta talks... you know, a very good game and, you know, I mean, he said after the game, didn't he, with that speech, you know, together we have reconnected the soul of this football club and the soul of this football club is you guys. And there's no doubt that the supporters, you've witnessed this, have been an incredible voice. You know, even in games that they've lost or dropped points, they're still chanting Arsenal at the end. So again, they're going places and I hope they do kick on next season. But when all said and done, that they had it in their hands and they dropped points where they shouldn't have dropped points, you know.
Yeah, but City won pretty much. They won an enormous amount of games.
They went into machine mode, and keeping pace with it is so much easier said than done.
But Arsenal were poor though in that back end of the season.
Of course, they had a wobble, and I think there was a few decisions. I think next season, if they're in the same position, for instance, take the Saliba decision against Sporting in Europa. I think that was a big factor in what happened. So next season, say that same opportunity, same chance presents itself, I don't think Arteta would do that.
Well,
so
I think
they'll learn.
The next season, the squad has to be deeper, doesn't it? I think this is it. He got the maximum out of the squad that he could for a long time.
Okay.
The depth of the squad simply wasn't there to sustain what was needed.
Indeed.
And I think that's what makes this window absolutely massive. The improvement needs to be bigger than the equivalent last season. And the jump was massive last season. So it's huge.
Could we see free agent Super Theo Walcott rejoin the club?
I would... strongly doubt that.
Okay, but you'd be open to it, though, is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure.
Southampton obviously
scored at the Emirates this season.
He did. Get him in. That was an entertaining draw. They got another entertaining draw against Liverpool.
They did.
What was that all about?
Just mad. You know,
people giving away goals. It was like a jumble sale.
On the last day, you always get a crazy game, and I think
that was a crazy game. Yeah,
it was brilliant. A lot of flips. Incredible amount of flips in that game.
Roberto Firmino doing that thing where people say, oh, it's a shame he's going. They're like, oh, it really is a shame he's going. He saves some of his best stuff. James Ward-Prowse subbed off with 4 minutes to go and got a standing ovation. Could it be his final game after 20 years at the club, David?
No, I think he might stay.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think he might stay. Again, I just sometimes look and I think, oh, where could he actually go? I don't think any of the top six are going to be rushing to sign him.
No.
So then is he going to go?
But a Premier League club, it would surely.
Villa wanted him before, didn't they? They came in quite heavily for him, but that was pre-Emery, so that might not be a destination. I think a sort of, you know, upper mid-table club, he'd have a lot to offer.
I think so.
Did you have him at Fulham?
If
you could get him?
Not at the moment, Jim.
No?
Probably. Maybe as a squad player. Bring him on for the free kicks and penalties, for crying out loud. What about Luton Town? Could they sign him? Luton are there. Luton bloody Luton Town have made it.
An orange team in the Premier League. Well, I never.
Yeah. Can you? I still can't believe this has happened. They drew 1-1 with Coventry City in the playoff final, and they became the first club to go from top flight of the English First Division, as it was back then, all the way down to non-league and then all the way back up again.
The very definition of the biggest yo-yo.
Yes. What an almighty yo-yo.
I tell you what, Marcus, aren't penalties a lottery? Fucking hell.
They were phenomenally good penalties, weren't they?
Yeah, every last one of them. Brilliant.
I was like, these are two championship sides. In the kind of pressured game that you don't really get as a championship player that much, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because they're not going into cup finals, obviously. Playoff finals are quite a rare thing. And as you say, like, a lot of them held their nerve. Great shame, of course, at the end for was it Darbo who missed?
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking, that. He sort of went, well, if everyone's putting theirs top right and top left.
Even that wasn't that far off, was it? It wasn't.
I tell you,
it looked worse from the original camera angle, but when you look from behind, it wasn't too bad.
Well, I mean, one of the other Coventry players was spared the blushes because when Luton scored that goal that was chalked off of VAR, was it Panzo? I think it was the defender who was robbed. I mean, you saw his face, like he must have been so relieved when VAR. Yeah. And it was as Championship fans, they're not used to VAR, sort of saying, nope, that's not a goal. but Luton, absolutely incredible. And I did fear for them because that first half in particular, they were all over Coventry.
Yeah, they dominated the first half.
And you felt to yourself, will they rue some of these missed chances?
Yeah.
And when it went to penalties, and they obviously they got over the line.
Obviously the situation with Tom Lockyer as well, which has been a really, really difficult thing to process.
And he really embodies the spirit and the style of that team in the way that he plays, I think, as well. And, you know... They're going to ruffle some feathers next year.
Do you think?
Oh, my word, yeah.
Yeah.
The shot of him in his hospital bed going, yeah!
he
covered in blooming sensors.
Yeah, well, he collapsed early on in the game, we should say, and he had to be taken to hospital.
Mm.
I mean, he doesn't need a penalty shootout, does he? Gordon Bennett. Bloody hell. So, yeah, as we mentioned on Friday, Pele, Ruddock and Panzu will become, as we said on Friday, and he will now become the first player to be promoted all the way from non-league to the Premier League with the same club.
Will he be played?
I'm telling you, I said on Friday, I was like, he'll be farmed out on loan back to a championship.
Yeah.
Surely not.
Or would he be just like a sideshow kind of character like King Kazu or something?
Maybe.
He just comes on for cup competitions.
I'll tell you what though, like even if he'd had an absolute stinking season and he was like 40 years old or something, he'd be like, you can't, surely. You can't put me on 10 minutes or something.
It's the romance is me and our stinking stadium. The doorway that everyone's putting on Twitter.
Yeah. I tell you what, the residents of those little houses around there, they're going to be like, oh, blimey. There's like cameras.
People keep saying this, sure, but it's not like there aren't football matches there all the time.
No. Yeah. There'll be less football matches, so maybe there'll be less. No, but as in like the world media. You know what it'd be like?
Yeah.
You get a camera, you're a
stinking little shithole. You shit little house.
Do you like living here? Because there's a load of noisy people. And as you say, Jim, I've lived here for ages. I'm not used to it.
Yeah, I've been here
I'm
for used to it. Ever.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, we shall see. How dare they get promoted with that stadium?
How
honestly,
dare they?
This is the Premier League. Hey, who let them behind the velvet rope?
What are they? I mean, they said they're going to have to spend 20 million to get their stadium up to code. What are they going to do in that amount of time?
Yeah.
We're back on in a week.
Yeah. Get them.
Lick a paint.
They'll go to the.
Go to Wembley, like Spurs did.
Yeah. Oh, God. Can you imagine? I think more like.
What a change of atmosphere.
I think more like Brentford's G-Tech. I could see them there.
Is that right?
Yeah, apparently.
I think
already the rugby team is apparently leaving as well.
Watford's a lot closer to Luton.
All right, okay.
Bloody Brentford.
Mike Ashley would take them in at Cov.
Would he? Would that would be an interesting scenario.
That would be a stinker.
But you, I mean, the chat David always is with promoted sides is that they're going to get, they'll be the whipping boys next season. Bloody bloody blah. What? Obviously, the summer's crucial. The amount of signings they may make and da di da di da. But I mean, how do you think they'll get on next season at this early stage?
Like I say, I think they'll just be. It's going to be really, really difficult, but I think they're going to have some games, again, where they ruffle teams as feathers. Their style is, you know, very, very...
Pretty direct.
It's direct in your face. They've got a lot of physical players. I thought Coventry are quite a physical side as well. Funnily enough, I'd probably say Coventry and Luton, two most physical sides that Sunderland played this season.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely bullied by both of them as well. Uh-huh. So it'll be interesting to see, your Brightons, your Brentfords, how they handle it, I think. You know, the more technical sort of based teams.
We should give a little shout out to Carlisle. United also won a penalty shootout in their return to League One. They beat Stockport, of course, after 9 years away. Well done.
Andy Brassel will be happy. That's his closest away, away match, I think.
I thought he was unhappy because he wanted them to stay in the division.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That is probably the case, isn't it? Right.
But he's a fairly happy-go-lucky guy, so he'll find the silver lining on this, true, whatever way, of course. And later today, it's Sheffield Wednesday and Barnsley.
They were all on the train. Producer Finn came down from Sheffield today, he's on the 6 o'clock train, forgetting that
he's a Sheffield United fan.
And he's a Sheffield United fan. You keep bringing your Sheffield Wednesday scarf for some reason from the hold.
Antagonising everyone lately, aren't you?
Little troll. Yeah. Hairy troll.
That'll be yours.
Father of two, little hairy troll. Covering.
That'll do. Speaking of non-league, Peter.
Right.
And hairy men.
My child has signed a pre-contract agreement.
Get them in when they're young.
Yeah.
I'm going to live my failed football career, and I want a successful one through him.
Yes.
Last week it was reported that Ray Winston is a part of a consortium hoping to buy Southend United. Peter, you live in Essex these days. Are you part of the consortium?
I live in the borough of the newly citied Southend. I thought it was The Rock. I thought The Rock was getting involved on Southend United.
Definitely Winston.
One's got deeper pockets.
I was about to say that seems very. I mean, Winston seemed unlikely. Mm. You bringing Dwayne Johnson into the picture seems
maybe these
unlikely.
Underperforming non-league sides are going to be the playthings of, because Hartlepool was going to be the Rob McElhenney project, but they wouldn't sell.
You never put your hand in your pocket.
Don't have the money of those two, do I?
Well,
attitude.
I think there's a consortium that you should be a part of, but anyway, we shall see. Gentlemen, I'd like to go abroad, if I may. To Germany.
Well, you just finished. Premier League's finished, mate.
You're on the beach.
Go where you want.
On the beach.
I'm not on the beach.
You can do a Rambo React from your lounger.
I'm in Bavaria.
Oh, nice. Where I am.
We talk about, you know, romantic stories about Luton going up and whatnot. In Germany, they know how to do a romance. Bayern Munich won their 11th consecutive title. Beautiful scenes. Beautiful scenes.
It's heartwarming
stuff.
Stupid
idiots.
Oh, my God. Borussia bloody Dortmund.
What are you
doing? Honestly, I have not connected that club in any way. I mean, blah, 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 blah.
So frustrated.
Dickheads.
They threw it away. If you hadn't seen this, Dortmund go into the final day 2 points ahead of Bayern. They're at home to Mainz. Mainz have got nothing to play for. They'd lost their four games leading up to that, conceding plentiful goals in that time. They're mid-table, nothing to play for. Dortmund, win that game, okay? And you can stop Bayern winning the title. The last time that somebody else other than Bayern won the title, Jurgen Klopp was at Dortmund. Alex Ferguson was still at Manchester United. You know, all these kind of things. It is... they've buggered it up. I mean, does anyone else share this frustration?
Oh, I think everyone does.
Yeah. I think watching
there's
the
probably
last...
probably even Bayern fans at this point. Like, oh, come on, guys. this feels meaningless.
The last 10 minutes of that match was so frustrating. The way they were just... lofting balls up like and over, and they were just clearing their lines every single time. Mainz, it was just there was a point where like Mainz nearly scored their third goal.
Yeah, Mainz should have scored. They should have had three or four.
At one point there was a diving header pretty much on the line. Yeah. And he just sort of hit the ground. It was really weird.
Yeah, I mean, Dortmund were 2-0 down inside 25 minutes. Haller missed a penalty.
That first half was just astounded.
They totally
Dortmund.
Bottled it.
They forgot how to play football.
Yeah.
They could not find each other with a pass. They weren't moving. It was genuinely bizarre.
It was a total choke job. I know we mentioned Arsenal. It's a bit silly because it happened, you know, Arsenal,
over time. It's different.
Indeed.
Isn't it?
Incomparable to this. It is right there. Go and beat this side who you should beat. I mean, Jude Bellingham was a huge miss, I would say.
Yeah, he's been carrying knee injuries for some time, I think. So he's had problems there. So he couldn't, I mean, he made the bench, but he couldn't even get a minute. Even in that precarious position, they were like, we can't even chuck Bellingham on.
Yeah.
Probably because they do want to ruin him for his big move. Mm. And they only really turned it on when Gio Reyna and the young lad, I want to say Dermaville, the young winger, 17-year-old, came on. Those two were brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they tried something a bit different. As has been said, like, they just kept trying to chuck balls in all the time. And they were the only two who were running at people.
But they had chances, you know. What's it?
Alla and Royce.
Yeah, Royce.
Had loads.
But it was just so weak.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And I know we're sat doing this. Imagine how Dortmund fans feel. And those players know more about the game than we do, for crying out loud. They were the ones doing it. But you just think, how on earth have you let that opportunity slip through your fingers? Like, you do wonder, you know, obviously the physicality of the game and technical ability, blah, 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 blah. But the temperament of players, you see it right there. Yeah. How vitally important. And the manager, you think, how have you not galvanized those players? Like, how is this collective collapse happened so spectacularly?
It might make you'd probably think about folding, wouldn't you? You'd be like, I don't know if I can do this again. How do we get ourselves up for next season? Should we just pack this in?
Well, I remember Andrea Pirlo, very different circumstances, but the same sort of sentiment and feeling when they lost that Champions League final to Liverpool, having been 3-0 up, of course, we remember, in Istanbul. And he said, like, he honestly thought about quitting the game. Like, he went away and he was just like, football doesn't make any sense anymore. How could that happen?
Yeah.
You know, these things, these moments, playing for a very successful AC Milan side. Whereas you say this with Dortmund, they will go away thinking, like, how have we not managed to do that? How have we bottled that? Like, there will be players. They won't quit, of course. But it will be that fleeting moment of thinking, sod this. What's the point?
It's hurting, you can tell. And Turgis's interview after was extraordinary. Like, he was just completely just devastated.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, a lot of the players will be really deeply thinking about it, I think. Yeah. But there is that kind of...
But what an opportunity! There's some saying that Tuchel could leave Bayern today. And they sacked Oliver Kahn straight after the game.
Yeah, I mean...
Because that is not good enough for Bayern.
No.
This is the difference. This is how much of an opportunity it is. Them winning through a last-minute goal from Musiala, lovely goal, by the way. And again, so they nearly Blackburn Rovers'd it over the line, Dortmund, you know, squirmed it over the line because they were playing Cologne, was it? And they needed Bayern to not lose. And Cologne score a late goal. And Bayern, then you could think, well, Bayern going to bottle it? And of course, they find a way. But that is not good enough. Bayern winning on the last day of the season, disgraceful for them.
This is what I was about to say.
Banning Oliver Kahn from joining in. He wasn't allowed to join the celebrations. That's deranged.
That's the difference. So you've got Dortmund. I think they've always had this kind of fragile losers mentality. And they got the big sing-song at the end by the yellow wall and all that shite. Whereas look at Bayern. That's the difference. There in what
ruthless.
You just said. There you go.
Oh. It's just awful. It's not good for anybody.
It's really angry
as you
about
said,
it, aren't you?
Even Bayern, you're like, come on, they must be annoyed. Bloody Nora.
They're annoyed at Dortmund for letting them off.
Yeah, I think so. Even more drama, though, elsewhere in Germany.
Germany lost its mind this weekend.
In the Bundesliga 2, Hamburg beat Sandhausen 1-0 away in Sandhausen. And the Hamburg fans flooded the pitch to celebrate. When that happened, Heidenheim, who were their promotional rivals, were 2-1 down in their game. So it was all cosy. It was all good for Hamburg. Lovely old job. With 11 minutes of added time to go, Heidenheim scored to make it 2-2. The stadium announcer at Sandhausen had even congratulated Hamburg and those fans on promotion. In the 99th minute, of course. Wait for the bloody whistle.
I know, right?
Why do football fans not know this? Heidenheim scored to make it 3-2, and they go straight up into the Bundesliga for the first time in their history. So there's a bit of romance. And Hamburg are going to go into the playoffs.
So at least this, you know, it's
still on, yeah.
It's not pitch invading stuff, though, Jim.
No, it's not.
But yeah, so they could still go up. And apparently exactly the same happened in the third tier. What's going on?
Honestly, good value, guys.
Exactly the same of this incredibly specific thing. What
What is Germany doing this weekend?
They're trying to entertain us, yeah, and in the way
they're succeeding.
In that video, like the way like everybody got onto the pitch, there was just these little doorways, really adorable little metal doorways.
Was it bigger or smaller than the Kenilworth Ward door?
It was. Yeah, it was a little bit. I need to know. Do you remember the old Amiga game Lemmings? It was like that.
Yeah,
they're just coming out of a trap door. Oh no!
after all this happened, I switched over to Serie A to think. Have Napoli lost the title? Have they managed to? Deary me!
Even if they win, Juventus have been given 30 points from somewhere.
What an appeal!
There we go.
What an appeal! Oh, Serie A's going to Serie A. By the way, just very, very briefly, if I may, on Napoli. If they win their final game of the season, they will finish with fewer points than that Maurizio Sarri season where they got 91 points when they finished second.
And Spalletti's leaving as well.
Is he?
So they've lost their coach. So yeah, he's 100%. He's taken a sabbatical.
To Tottenham Hotspur. Won't feel like a rest if you get there. Tell me about it. Anyway, right. Oh, everybody. Well, what a season it's been. What a season it's been. Yeah, don't really worry, football never stops, so we'll talk about England soon enough. We have European finals as well.
We do.
We've got Jose Mourinho. They buggered it up, didn't they?
They did.
Against Fiorentina. So he needs to win the Europa League if he wants Champions League next season. That is very ominous for Sevilla. Right, everybody. Tomorrow, by popular demand, we're bringing you the Football Ramble's guide to Big Sam's Bolton. We thought we'd remember better days for the big man. And then on Wednesday, we're only doing a bloody drop-in with Brighton chief exec Paul Barber. How about that? What a coup. So make sure you catch both of those, some very interesting stuff about Roberto De Zerbi, of course, in the drop-in. So yes, get your ears around that lot. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Oh, thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
I just did that thing where I yawned and a bit of spit kind of inadvertently flew out of my mouth. So apologies, everyone. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm salivating at the idea of more football.
Nobody could hear that.
No.
You didn't need to talk about that.
All right. I didn't do any of that then.
Uh-huh. Well, are you off on your McDonald's round now?
I'm off on McDonald's.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Thank you, David Cartledge.
It's been a pleasure, mate. And I'm not going to spit on you.
Please don't.
Do a little bit. Come on.
But if you do like Pete, hand us a flipping chicken select, would you?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you soon, though, as I say, because football never ends. Laura Love.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.